Welcome to Baby Boomers Live, the show about all things human from a baby boomer's perspective. All things hot and all things not. News, reviews, interviews, chat, sex, and what's next. And here are your hosts, Reetha Gray from Betty White's Off Their Rockers, and Easy Dad, Jim Zuley.
Well, good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Hello, Reetha. Boy, I'll tell you, here we are again, December 7th. And when you hear that date, you can't help but have that video pop in your head. December 7th, 1941, a day that will live in infamy. Isn't that right, with Roosevelt?
Wow. This genuinely was before my time, but I have heard of it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, well, we're moving along here. I mean, we have these talks, and we're just, whammo, we're getting into the holidays so quickly, I can hardly keep up, you know? Like I said, I'm still taking down stuff from last year, but I'm not going to bother. I'm just going to leave it up. So, do you have a busy week, Reeth?
I have had a cold. Uh-oh. I don't get sick often, and I don't take flu shots, but I don't think this is the flu. I think it's genuinely just the cold. I haven't had a fever. But yesterday, I took a sick day, and it was that kind of sick day where I was sick enough to stay home and stay in bed, but not sick enough to be miserable. So I watched old TV and old movies. I watched the originals. Well, I don't know if it was the original, but I watched Zorro with Tyrone Power.
I remember Zorro.
Just had a nice, warm, snuggly bed underneath the electric blanket. And I think it's kind of a good thing because I might as well have a cold and get it over with, get my immunity up for the winter. And it's not a bad cold. I've been drinking honey and tea and lemon. And I recommend colloidal silver to anyone who has a cold. It's not a medicine. Most people don't know it, but viruses have polarity, like a magnet. And so they glom onto this colloidal silver when you drink it, and it flushes it out of your body. So then your colds and flu tend to be less severe if you do happen to get one. But
well,
I'm actually doing much better today.
Good, good. You know, that's a good tip because colds are something that everybody has to deal with. And if we could find, you know, this new technology that's coming out with the vitamins and the supplements and everything or whatever, the proper diets, you know, it all helps because, I don't know, it seems like when you get into your 50s and 60s, there's all kinds of things that pop up, so we got to be ready for them.
Absolutely.
So I think we're kind of getting into the hot topic time.
Ripped from the headlines, today's hot topic.
Well, my hot topic today is to stop watching the headlines. The news lately has really been overwhelming, and especially at this Christmas time when we've already got a lot of stuff to stress us out, the shopping, the traffic, the lack of money to buy what we want for people and the lack of money of getting what we want for ourselves and the economy and just the election. There's just so much stuff going on. And then when you turn on the news and you're getting San Bernardino day in, day out, you're getting Paris still day in, day out. And if you live in Los Angeles, we have just our regular day-to-day tragedies that happen. We need to turn the news off sometime. That's why yesterday I took an old TV day where the shows were all about giving good moral lessons and, you know, Father Knows Best and Leave It to Beaver, that kind of stuff, which is just good, clean fun. Take a day off, turn the news off, and just relax. We don't need to know about every headline. We don't need to know about every tragedy. And news has been running almost nonstop. And then they're always CNN and, you know, all the stations that run the news all day. You can actually live without it. Think on those things that are good, lovely, and of a good report. And that'll bring you back up out of that kind of malaise that you get into with all this bad news going on. So that's my hot topic today. Just turn it off.
Well, Rita, it kind of relates to that story I said about the two groups leaving the movie theater. You have one that just left, a movie that was dealing with, you know, murder and serial killers and blah, 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 all that kind of stuff. And then you got the other movie that was maybe a John Candy movie when, you know, the comedies and things like that when he was around. And which group is a little happier, you know? Yeah, when we bombard ourselves with that stuff, you can't help it. And then when you come across somebody, what do? You share what you saw in the news, so you're talking about more negative stuff.
Exactly.
So let's keep it positive. You know what's going on, but keep the positive going.
Absolutely.
So anyway, I'm going to touch base on, you know, today's December 7th, and back in 1945, like I said, a quote from Roosevelt, a day that will live in infamy. 2,402 lost their lives in the attack by the Japanese on Pearl Harbor, and it also brought us into World War II. And that made Churchill happy because then we supported the European theater. We fought in two theaters, with MacArthur in the Pacific Theater, and then we had Eisenhower for Europe fighting Germany. So here's a couple facts I wanted to share I found in the Huffington Post that maybe some of you don't know, that some of the battleships that were in the harbor that day were resurrected. Of the eight battleships that were targeted during the attack, all but two were eventually repaired and brought back into action repaired by the U.S. Navy and brought back into action. The USS West Virginia and the USS California were sunk. And some of the ships they brought up that are still around today, they actually left a lot of the bullet holes there for the memories. And another little fact, the veterans of the attack can be laid to rest at Pearl Harbor. The survivors, they have an option that they can join their lost comrades as a final resting place. And to this day, the USS Arizona still leaks fuel. The day before the Arizona was sunk, it filled the tank, okay? 1.5 million gallons it took to fill the tank, and it still trickles out today after all these years. And the servicemen stationed in Hawaii took care of the memorial during the shutdown of in 2013 when the government shut down. And many tourists from Japan come to visit the memorial. While it was Japan that made the attack, not everyone realizes that the Japanese visit the memorial in droves. And Japan is one of America's strongest allies today and the largest source of, tourists going to Hawaii. So have you been there, Rita?
I have. I've been there a couple of times.
Oh, wow. Yeah. And,
welcome to EasyWayBroadcasting.com, your one-stop shop getaway to corporate Hollywood. EasyWay specializes in red carpets and will enhance your experience. EasyWayBroadcasting.com is top-ranked on Alexa and houses the EasyWay TV Film On channel, podcast radio station, and EasyWay magazine. Learn more about the beautiful EasyWay Angels and follow their events calendar. For more information, visit EasyWayBroadcasting.com and click on About Us or call 424-209-9290. Don't forget to subscribe to the website and follow EasyWay on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter pages for amazing updates and opportunities. Remember, that's letter E and letter Z, because, well, we do it the easy way. EasyWay Magazine is your best vehicle to advertise in if you would like to reach a quality database in corporate Hollywood. Not only will you read the stories and enjoy the content, you will also get to interact through social media and get to meet who's featured at the events, as well as get exclusive interviews from your favorite celebrities. EasyWay Magazine is a Los Angeles and Orange County-based magazine, but also reaches an international audience. Subscribe to EasyWay Magazine today by following EasyWay Broadcasting on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, or EasyWayBroadcasting.com's website. To advertise, call 424-209-9290 or email contact@EasyWayBroadcasting.com. That's letter E and letter Z, because we don't do it the hard way. We do it the easy way.
We do it the easy way. And we're back. And Rita, we have a very special guest on today. And I don't know if you're in this world as much as I was, because back in the 60s, I used to love the cars. And I appreciate these guys because our guest coming on today talking about fast and quick reflexes, he is on the cutting edge of the scenario today. I dropped off with all this back in around 1970 is when I dropped off from the racing circuit. I used to race at US 30 in Oswego in Chicago with all the old Hemis and the you know, the big block Chevys and the Hypo 289, stuff like that. But after 69, everything changed. It went into the format of the smog and so on and so forth, and I went in the military, so it all dropped off. So anyway, we have a very special guest that knows about this stuff, and he's on the cutting edge, Sam Burnett. Sam, are you on with us?
Yes, I'm here.
All right. Greet us. This is Sam Burnett. Sam, this is
Greet
the Great.
Hi, Sam.
Betty White's co-star.
Hi.
And Off the Rockers. So I know you're a busy guy. Thanks for taking a little time and coming on the show. But, you know, the MX-5 Miata, is it called?
MX-5 Miata, yes.
Miata. And the you got the Miata, the Roadster, the Mazda Roadster. And these are like high-performance cars. And tell you, when I used to open the hoods on the old you know, the 327s and the you remember the Hemi and stuff like that, the 426. Push 425 horse and all that kind of stuff. You can work on the cars now. Everything's digital and so on and so forth. It's a different world today with your engines, isn't it?
Yeah, it's funny that you mentioned that. We joke that you have to have a computer science degree to work on cars these days.
Well, you're a racer, and you race the actual MX-5. So, is there anything that steered you to that to the Mazda scenario? I mean, back with the bikes and that, we all knew back in the 60s the Kawasaki was the fast bike. What kind of moved you into this world anyway? Because it's a fast-paced world. It can be dangerous, you know.
Yeah, it sure is. Actually, it's great to compare kind of the way things used to be with regards to the vehicles themselves, like you were just saying. But to touch on the safety is so much better these days. You know, it was almost a death sentence, you know, at times to be a racer years and years ago. And now it's considered safer. You're more likely to be killed on your way driving to the racetrack than on it.
Yeah.
Oh, my.
And you
Sam, I'm not really into racing. So what exactly do you do and what kind of cars do you race?
Great question. So I race for next year in a series called the Global Mazda MX-5 Cup. The MX-5 is also known as the Mazda Miata, which came out in 1990, and it is the top-selling sports car in the history of the world. It's a very small two-seat vehicle that's very simple, and it's not a super high horsepower, you know, not a high-power vehicle, but it's very pure for driving. It's very balanced, very easy to drive, very sporty and fun to drive. And so that's kind of the way that Mazda, its manufacturer, goes about manufacturing all of their vehicles. Everything is based on a feel and an experience. So these cars off the showroom floor, they feel that way. They're very sporty. And so they make a car called the Mazda MX-5 Miata. And what's done is they take this vehicle and they make some modifications to it to prepare it for racing. And then, you know, there's a group of cars, you know, sometimes 30, 40, even as high as 60 cars on the track at one time. And they compete against each other in the same type of vehicle. And that's what the Global Mazda MX-5 Cup is for next year, is identically prepared vehicles, you know, these simple, like I said, MX-5 Miatas, and it's a lot of fun, and it's actually very affordable for racing.
You know,
that means it really is dependent upon the driver to be the best and not necessarily the best car, because
that's
they're
exactly
all the best car.
That's
Sam,
right. I'm glad you mentioned that.
The cars that, you know, we raced are all front engine, rear wheel drive and so on and so forth. And today, a lot of the cars, everything's switched around. You get the rear engines, front wheel drive and so on. And I believe the MX-5 is a front engine rear wheel drive, correct?
Yes, that is correct.
Okay. And, you know, it's kind of funny. We started the show with December 7th the day that the Japanese attacked Pearl Harbor and so on and so forth, and now they're our strongest ally. And I also believe that the vehicle we're talking about was actually built in Hiroshima, which was the end of the war with Japan. Kind of ironic, huh?
Yeah, that's very appropriate, and that is true. That's where it's made.
Fill me in a little bit here. I still go by horsepower. You know, the Hemi pushed out hemispherical heads, Rita. And the Hemi pushed out it was a 426 famous car, which you probably know about, and it pushed out 425 horse, made it probably one of the fastest cars back then. And now, it's not a horsepower rating today, and it's not cubic inch like it used to be. So what would the cubic inches be on this MX-5?
We go everything by liter. So I could tell you it's a 2-liter, which
okay.
is approximately one-third of the size of that vehicle, if not a quarter. So significantly smaller, and it's a four-cylinder engine as opposed to an 8.
Yeah, so I remember racing, and I had a 396 Chevelle, and I raced a 289 Mustang. I'm thinking, well, I'm going to blow them away because I have so much more horsepower in cubic inch. But yet the technology on the 289, they call it the Hypo Mustang back then, we kind of broke even. And I started learning about the new innovations of the small block. So you're talking about a four-cylinder that's really quick. I mean, it's amazing how they transform this technology. So,
what is your top speed, Sam? What's the fastest your car goes?
Well, the MX-5 Cup car is not designed to be a high-horsepower car nor a high-speed car. They top out in the neighborhood of 140 miles an hour, which for a race car is actually pretty slow.
Yeah, but you have to be able to maneuver.
These cars are very well-balanced, right? That's the key. I've raced a number of different vehicles with hundreds and hundreds of horsepower, like you're talking about, with big engines. And
yeah.
Those horsepower, you know, high horsepower classes are actually, believe it or not, they're less competitive. There's less people that race them. They don't want to race them close together because they're so expensive. And it's actually quite a bit harder to drive these low horsepower cars fast.
So what kind of a track do you run on? Is it an oval track or is it like through the streets? What kind of track?
We race on what are called road courses, which are closed course, you know, private tracks. So not, you know, because you say road, it kind of sounds like you'd be on the public roads, but you're not. These are freestanding road courses. There's a bunch of them all throughout the United States. The most famous one in California would be Mazda Raceway Laguna Seca, just outside of Monterey, California.
Wow. What do you think of these?
Is the road dirt or regular paved road?
It's an asphalt track, so it would be comparable to driving on the street. That the composition of the road would be.
I saw on the billionaires. It was a show about billionaires, and this one guy loved racing so much that he bought this. Well, he bought a big house and a lot of acres, and he built his own racetrack in the back, and they have it, so it's challenging, you know, the more curves and bends. Do you go all over the world with your racing, or mainly out here in California?
Actually, I'm based in Charlotte, North Carolina, which is where the majority of racing in this country is based. But I travel all over the United States to race. I've dabbled a little bit out of the country, but the majority of the competition that I've done is here in the States.
Now, there's a street-ready Miata also, isn't there?
Yeah, as a matter of fact, you know, when Mazda builds the MX-5 Miata, they build it as a street car. And so what's done with the ones that we're competing with, they'll take those literally right out of a showroom floor, and they'll strip the interiors out and rip a lot of the parts off and install a roll cage and some other modifications and then race it. But they all start off as a production vehicle, like you're saying.
Yeah, the Mazda Roadster, EUNOS, Urnos Roadster?
In Europe, it used to be called the UNOS Roadster, that's correct.
UNOS Roadster.
Miata for the U.S. and UNOS over there, but technically Mazda's actually dropped both of those names for simplification And it's technically called the MX-5, even though we call it here frequently the MX-5 Miata.
Okay. What would you pick for us, you know, a car to drive around on the street?
I drive a Mazda Miata on the street as well. I drive a 2001 Mazda Miata. And fun fact,
you had mentioned
about the Hemi in your cars that you were racing before. The Miata actually has a Hemi engine. It has hemispherical combustion chambers in it.
Wow. Well, that's got to be pretty quick. I mean, you know.
Unlike my Dodge that doesn't. I have a Dodge SUV that says Hemi on it, and it actually does not have hemispherical combustion chambers. It's kind of funny.
Yeah, it draws attention. But, you know, well, you had the 383 and the big 446 pack, and which had a big block, a lot of horsepower. But it just seemed like guys that could just go out and buy those Hemis were beating everybody. They were on the Coronet. They were pretty quick. What's the weight on those MX-5s? I mean, they got to be pretty light.
Oh, yeah, they're very light. They're in the neighborhood of 2,200 pounds.
Well, I was going to say around 2. Wow. Yeah. So can I get a quarter mile on this at all, or do you not do quarter mile times?
Yeah, well, quarter mile times are for drag racing, you know, which is a straight line from a stop. And we're doing road courses, which is left and right hand turns on a closed course.
Right. Yeah.
If I had to pick
Tell anybody, but I used to street race. And I street raced in a GTO, 67 GTO, and I would shut them down, let me tell you.
Okay, Aretha, question for Aretha. Let's see if we can stump her. GTO, what does it stand for?
Grand Theft Auto. No. Grand Torino. Grand Torino something.
Grand,
I don't remember.
Grand Turismo Olimangetti.
Okay, that's what I used to race.
Boulevard. Well, Sam, I'll tell you. So, what's up for Sam now? Where are you heading now? What kind of races you got coming up, and what are your plans? You going to do a book? You going to do a movie? Maybe we'll get you in a couple of these Fast and Furious movies, huh?
Yeah. No, actually, right now, I'm focusing on trying to get our team funded for next year. So we're looking for potential partners. You know, sometimes people call them sponsors. So what I've been doing right now is I have found a niche. I have a passion for music, specifically rock music. And I've been trying to find a way to combine that, the two of those things, racing and rock music together, and kind of get some bands involved and
you know
people
what?
In the Hollywood industry.
Do you remember when the car pulls in the pit and bam, off goes the wheels and, you know, boom, boom, boom. They really change everything in seconds. Do you remember the group Stone, Woods, and Cook? Or is that a little too early for you?
I don't. Maybe
I don't either.
They would go in a car, pull in a pit from a race, and they would have the tires off. They could change the engine, do everything in just literally a minute or so. Here you go. So you got your guys in the pit, and they're ready to do a thing. And all of a sudden, they turn around, and they got their instruments. And boom, you do a thing right on the track. How's that for a starter?
Sounds like a good time.
So if somebody's interested in finding out about your team or being a sponsor or even seeing you perform the rock and roll or the racing, how would they get in touch with you?
Via social media. I could be reached on Twitter at S Barnett Racing and on Instagram and Facebook at Sam Barnett Racing.
And how do you spell Barnett?
B-A-R-N-E-T-T.
All right.
Well, are you going to come out here anytime soon, or what's the deal?
It's funny that you asked. I've actually made 3 trips to Los Angeles in the last 6 weeks. I've been meeting with lots of rock bands. I've actually had quite a bit of success with this so far. It seems to be really, really popular with the bands and the fans and things like that. What basically happened is I partnered with a famous rock band called The Offspring for a race in August, and they did a video with their stuff on the car. And the video actually went viral on Facebook and drew tons of attention. So fortunately, I got a little lucky on that one, that the majority of the bands in Hollywood are now willing to talk to me. So I've been going, having some meetings, and trying to put a lot of stuff together. It's been a lot of fun.
And how did you find out about Easy Way Broadcasting?
Yeah.
Through Eric.
How'd you meet Eric?
We were actually at an event called Bowling with Bunnies, which was a fundraiser at Lucky Strike Bowling Alley. in Hollywood. That was.
I trust you weren't using real bunnies to bowl with, right?
No, we weren't bowling with actual bunnies.
Good. Glad to hear that.
Bunny balls. Yeah. Well, I'll tell you, you hooked up with the right guy if you want to get this out there, because he's Mr. Social Media. I'll tell you, I could see a lot of potential. What do you think, Reese, with this racing and music put together? I could see all kinds of
Well, rock and roll and racing are two of my passions. Like I said, street racing is what I did, but I still love rock and roll, so works for me.
We have all kinds of rock and roll music hookups, and we know people in the racing world. There's a lot of stuff, so we'll talk. But, you know, I know you're a busy guy. Thank you for coming on the show. I got a lot of questions, but it's kind of stuff that would probably leave Reef in the dust, little technical things and things. But I just really enjoyed it. It was a big part of my life back in the 60s, and I just went through a lot of different cars and enjoyed when everyone came, when each model came out. It was really exciting. But I'd like to have you on again. I want to meet up with you next time you come out here. And, Sam, so, again, thanks for coming on the show. And let's hook up a little bit and see what we can put together.
Absolutely. Sounds good. I really appreciate you having me.
Okay, right, thanks for being on the show, Sam.
All right. See, Reza, it's, you know, now the women back in the 60s, you had the boyfriends that had the cars, but women weren't really interested in the fast cars, were they?
I was interested in fast cars.
You were? Yeah. Did you own any?
I drove a GTO.
Yeah. I know. Well, the one you have now is pretty high performance.
No.
Smartphone, cell phone, PC, Mac, tablet, iPad. That's right. It's tech time.
It's tech time. Okay. Reese, do we have you on for tech time? Okay, guys. All right, guys, just gonna move in. I found that really interesting because I really enjoyed the racing game back in those days. So, you know,
I'm back, Jim. I'm back.
Okay, yeah. We lost you there for a while. I was just saying, Reese, I really enjoyed those days, and it brought back memories. But with these new engines, I'm totally lost. So we'll let you move into your tech time.
Okay, yeah, sorry about that. I lost the connection here. Today I want to talk just very quickly about smart TV. Christmas is coming up. A lot of us like to get TVs for Christmas. And my aunt asked me the other day, what is a smart TV? Well, a smart TV is a flat screen TV that has extra features. Mainly it's actually been around since the 90s, the concept, but they've only gotten really popular.
Well, we lost Reese again. When Reese mentioned about the smart TVs, I sure was, Eric is so advanced in the social media stuff, and I mean, my comment is I'm still impressed by the television. How does this stuff work? You know, how can you be out somewhere? But anyway, that's technology.
Smart TV.
We lost you there for a second, Reese, so come on back in.
Okay. A smart TV, you can get video streaming straight from the internet. You can get apps and games directly to the TV without hooking it up by a cable. It goes through just straight through the TV. You do have to have a computer somewhere in the house, and it does go through your router. You can have a DVD or DVR directly connected to the TV without having to go through your TiVo or your cable people. You can just go directly through the TV. You can have TiVo or Roku or those type of services directly on the TV without having a separate box. And you can use either gestures or voice control on some of them, so you don't have to use your regular remote control. And you know how we, some of us, just still, there's way too many buttons on those remote controls. So to be able to just gesture or use a voice control is great. You can do your social networking on there. You can get Facebook, Twitter. Some of them you can Skype with. You can browse the internet. Some things you can stream from your phone directly to the TV. And it's got all sizes. They come up to very huge sizes. I got my Christmas present to me, one of them, was a 43-inch smart TV, which I have not set up yet. So after I get it set up, I can kind of tell you how it actually works. Now, should you buy one? That's really kind of up to you. It depends on how much you really want to stream stuff directly to your TV. I'm trying to fire my cable company. So sometime after the first of the year, I'll be able to tell you if with my smart TV, I was able to fire my cable company and just use the features from the smart TV.
Wow.
But if you're looking into buying a TV this year, I would say, if you don't have at least one smart TV in your house, buy a smart TV and check it out.
So, Aretha, basically, this is simple question type stuff. A smart TV is your flat screen, but the difference is you have the option to totally go on the internet and do all your computer stuff right on your TV with your remote, right?
Exactly.
Wow. So isn't this going to be a dramatic impact on the existing, you know, like, way things have been going for all these years with television?
Oh, absolutely. You can watch TV. You can watch TV. You can get Netflix. You can get Hulu. All of this stuff you can currently get on your computer. But I don't like watching TV on my computer. I like watching, even on my laptop, I like watching TV on TV. So this way it'll go directly to your TV.
So this is kind of like in the groundbreaking category. This is like a major change in the way.
It's been around for a while, but it's really catching on and really been perfected. And there are a lot of outlets now to be able to pick up on your smart TV. So, like I said, if you're going to get it, and they're not that expensive. They're like around $300 for a 40-inch screen. Now, you used to pay $300 just for a little tiny TV. So for a 40-inch screen, catch some of these sales.
Okay.
You can get it before Christmas or after. But either way, you can get some good deals on them.
Check question for Aretha. All right. Everybody, so many people, they bought the nice flat screens. They have the new Pixel, whatever. It's the really nice TVs. Is there any way they could take what they have and get adapters and program in the stuff in their TVs that they have?
Well, most of it you can. Like, I have a Roku box. I have an Apple TV thing that you plug in. But there are a lot of different plugins. And my oldest TV in the house doesn't have really enough of anything to use all of it. This way you've got it all already built into the TV. So you've got Hulu built in, you've got Netflix, you've got Roku, all of it's already just coming directly to your TV. And you don't have to have all those wires. My old TV, I've got a million wires coming out of it. This way all of it's just streamed directly from, you know, your internet.
All right, a flat screen that isn't this new type, but you can still use that and get some kind of program where you can adapt the computer
features
to
watch. You can do some of it, but you have to have external boxes, and you have to have the wires.
So that means we're going to see a big, you know, a big push on getting rid of these older TVs. They're going to go way down in price. People are going to be selling them on the internet, right?
There's no point in buying an old TV. The new TVs are so cheap. Like I said, you can get a 40-inch for around $300. You know, you can't get much better than that. You know, so who's going to buy an old TV with no technology when you can buy a new TV for $300?
But they'll be pushing a lot of people at stores that have the old stuff. They'll probably be pushing it out from, you know, really, really cheap. And, nobody's going to want
that. No, actually, not really, because still a good flat-screen TV is still going to cost you right about the same. And everyone doesn't want all of those features, so they're doing both.
They're still
selling both. But I think this is going to be the year of the turnaround where people are going to start looking more into smart TVs and less into just regular flat-screen TVs.
So in the movie business, Reese's in the movie business. Now, you know, isn't this going to be major competition, or are all
as an as an actress, I hate it, because the residuals from any of the streaming media is much less for an actor than it is in regular broadcast TV, even less than cable TV. So, yeah, as an actor, I hate it. Producers love it because they make much more profit.
Yeah.
Because the actors' contracts have not caught up with the media. So, yeah, as an actor, I hate it, but as a consumer, I love it. So what can I say? And that takes us up to Jim's Gym.
Well, Greef, I think we're out of time for our show because
we're
a little over time, but I want to thank Sam for coming on. And I really found that interesting, and it brings back old memories. And you kind of put a little bit in my head about, and if I'm going to, you know, be in the market for a TV coming up here, I'm going to go in that direction. So thanks for keeping me up here.
Okay, well, I want to remind everybody the Easy Way Magazine release is December 19th. It's going to be a wonderful event. There are going to be guest speakers there. Larry Namer on the board of Easy Way Broadcasting is going to be there. The tickets are available. Part of the proceeds are going to go to Women of Global Change. Check it out on easywaybroadcasting.com. Get all the information. I want to give a shout-out to MyPocket, Manny's Apps, and Digitech Media Group. MyPocket did the Eric Zuli app. Manny's Apps is doing the Easy Way app. And Digitech is responsible for all the new graphics and video intros you're seeing on all the web pages. You can go to Baby Boomers Radio and see our new page and see all the graphics, the new graphics that we have. And MyPocket, Manny's Apps, and Digitech Media Group can all do something for you, too, if you're interested in getting graphics or apps and any of those type things.
It's all exciting. It's amazing. Babyboomerradio.com. Remember, guys, go to babyboomerradio.com and here Reefa and I doing our thing, keeping you updated on all kinds of stuff. And, you know,
and memberships are going to roll out for Easy Way. So you really want to get one of the new memberships in the membership program. It'll help save you money. It'll get you more success the easy way. You don't have to do it the hard way.
Reefa,
do it the easy way.
I was off a little bit. Baby Boomers with the S. You got to have the S on there.
Right.
Baby Boomers
Radio.
Yeah, Baby Boomers, guys. And, you know, tune in with Reefa and I. I mean, we got Social Security tips. We got retirement, insurance. You know, don't go through all these mistakes. Listen to some of these tips and avoid a lot of the pitfalls. You know, and we have everything in our shows. I mean, all kinds of information and experts on. And, Reefa, it's been a pleasure. Again, here we go. And until next week, guys.
Okay, see you next Monday, 10 a.m.
Stay active. That's
hey, guys,
okay.
I'm an angel here. I'm here to tell you why you should download the Eric Zuli app for free. Get the Easy Way experience on the go. Events, shows, fan wall, interviews, coverage, all our blogs, social media, promote your music to the great. Get notifications and updates for free, and you get to join Easy Way on all of its fun adventures. Easy Way has over 250,000 followers, 3 verified accounts, and been endorsed by some of the largest producers, celebrities, and public figures. Visit your Apple or Android store today and download the Eric Zuli app for free.
Thank you for listening to Baby Boomers Live with your host, Aretha Gray, star Betty White's Out There Rockers, and Easy's dad, Jim Zulli. Like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, and keep up with us at babyboomerslive.info. Baby Boomers Live, brought to you by EasyWayBroadcasting.com on Blog Talk Radio.